let's have the party in my active morning.
Morena, Elijah and Karen here. We coordinate and facilitate communities that apprentice under Jesus together.
I just dribbled a little bit. These neighborhood churches form the extended family known as Unite.
We desire to grow as apprentices of Jesus according to the Bible by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Devoted to God in Jesus with one another.
Showing the world the love of God.
We believe that God is three in one and that we belong to Jesus Christ.
We desire to be Holy Spirit led in everything we do, to practice love and community, growing together with joyful endurance.
And to welcome all people, seeing them with the dignity God created them with.
In this video, we're going to touch on some themes from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 43, which we've been reading this week as a neighborhood churches, haven't we, Karen?
Yes.
If you're looking to follow along to our Bible plan, you can find it or lead someone else to do that. You can find it on our website, unitechurch.org.nz.
Thank you.
I would love to read from Luke chapter 18, verse 9, and it reads like this. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, that should give us some hints of what Jesus is talking to and try to keep ourselves humble and maybe go, there's something in us in there too. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Notice how much Jesus refers to how we see ourselves and others when talking about the kingdom of God. He pushes up against an idea of God that suggests that our faith is purely personal. He continues to pull our personal faith into a communal expression. Moreover, trusting Jesus directly affects how we see not only God, but ourselves and others. Not just that, but trusting Jesus is directly correlated with how we treat other people, especially those we are in faith community with. So, do we humble ourselves or do we exalt ourselves? Jesus is making a couple of points here in this parable. First and foremost, perhaps he's making the point that our faith comes from him. We cannot lay claim that we achieved it in any way. We are saved by the work of Jesus, the love of the Father, by grace alone. And it's one of the key points we see here. The Pharisee's focus is himself. We hear this as we go back. He's, look what I have done. I am not like you. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. So Jesus is talking into, faith is not about what you do. That's not the start of it. It's an extension of it. It's the fruit of it, but it's not the beginning. Whereas the tax collector, he leans not on himself. He is aware of himself, but he leans on who God is. So that is the difference. One is focusing on what he has done. The other is focusing on who God is. And that should give us clues as to what Jesus is inviting us into. So any action or response on our part in faith is enabled by the Holy Spirit. But not only this point, Jesus is also making the point that we are responsible for the decisions of our heart. Faith is not passive. We are given the freedom of how we shall respond. Making a choice and enacting a choice are two different things. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to respond, but leaves the intention up to us. How do you respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your day-to-day? And how does it affect others? We can respond in two general ways here, humble or exalted. Humility has been misused a lot in Christian circles. And even we've used passages like this to misuse it. We often use it to mean that we should think lowly of ourselves. You know, I'm rubbish, I'm dumb, sweet, I'm being humble. Not true, that's not humility. I would argue that this is in fact exalting ourselves, and we'll get to that in a moment. Humility is thinking of ourselves less, not thinking less of ourselves. So the tax collector was aware of himself as a sinner, and so leant on who God was. He was thinking about God and God's mercy. He may have started with his thinking of himself, but he moved to that space. And that is humility. Humility is born from trusting Jesus with my life. That was what the tax collector was doing. He was trusting the God of mercy. Mm. The more I walk in trust, the more I don't need to worry about myself, because I have entrusted my life to Jesus, moment by moment, struggle by struggle, blessing by blessing. Exalting then is the opposite. It's only thinking about myself. Now, in this case, we see people thinking of themselves more highly than they should. But I think the inverse is also true. When we are only thinking of ourselves, either highly or lowly, our minds are only full of us. Hmm. It's funny that even people that, you know, even when we can be in pity or think of ourselves very less, we're still essentially thinking of ourselves highly, because our minds are full of us. Hmm. We have no room to hear God's perspective and therefore to hear his heart for both us and others. Another question that comes to mind for us to ask as followers of Jesus: when's the last time you felt challenged by the Spirit of God? Mm-hmm. I invite us to let this thought, challenge, word of God lead us to repentance, to worship, to be formed by the love of Jesus. Have your way, Lord, in our hearts and lives. Would we be those known by our love, formed by the love we see in the person and lordship of Jesus, the same love that is within us by the power of the Holy Spirit and to the glory of our Father. For the kingdom of God, which is any place God reigns as king, is for those who have been pushed to the fringes and devalued by society. God sees them, he loves them, and he calls us, his people, to do the same.
I'm going to read straight on from the verses you read in Luke, so 18 to 29. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." "All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life." What is impossible with man is possible with God. Let's talk eternal life for a minute. Eternal life is not earned, it is gifted. Mm. Why do we get stuck in a mindset of trying to earn it? Mm. Wealth is obviously a big thing at play here that Jesus is talking to, but it's unwise to suggest that Jesus is only talking to us about wealth. He's talking priority, what is first in our lives, what idols we worship, what material or emotional things we strive for and hold on to, or what we replace God with. The lifestyle that Jesus is talking about is full of blessing, and not just on this earth, but into eternity. Mm. Nothing physical on this earth will transport into eternity, but our longings and desires and wants shape us into something eternal. Mm. Elijah spoke about this last week. Are we being transformed into his likeness, into our created purpose, or are we being deformed into something else? Mm-hmm. And going back to Jesus' words, what is impossible with man is possible with God. I feel the grace of God when I read this.
Yeah.
Jesus' answer shows me two things. One, that being saved by our own merit is impossible. And two, that God makes a way to save our life from eternal death. What characteristics of God do I see when I read this? He knows the hearts of humanity. He's well aware of our shortcomings. He sees we try and try and try to earn our salvation, and he speaks into that over and over and over. He provides a way forward, a way out, an eternal way.
Yeah.
He knows what we can't do, and he does it for us. Yep. He does it with us. And this is the point of the gospel, to see our need for God and to fall in love with him as he loves us so well and saves our lives.
Oh, that's brilliant, Karen. And it really ties into that theme that we see with the tax collector and Pharisee.
Yeah.
Pharisee was leaning on himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, with an inflated sense of, I can save myself, look what I have done.
Yeah.
Whereas the tax collector leans, you don't hear about what he's done. You hear about who God is from his heart, from his words.
Yeah.
He's leaning on a God of mercy. And Jesus invites us to do the same.
Yeah.
And that leads us to these questions that for us to consider as we share together, remembering, of course, that the Holy Spirit leads us as we korero. And I always say that because I think we can forget and we just get caught in conversation. It's important to remember the sacred moment and the awareness of the presence of God among us and within us as we share. We're trusting him to do works that we can't see yet, do supernatural things in our hearts.
Yeah.
It's important we know who we are and that we do that.
Yeah.
This week's questions are a bit more general than normal, and I wanted to remind us through the use of these questions of the three postures that churches must take to call themselves churches. Three postures that really define us as followers of Jesus. They are, in a very general way, up, in, and out. Three types of relationships.
One of the cornerstone verses for our Unite Whānau has been and is John 13:34-35. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
Up refers to our relationship with God. As I have loved you, Jesus said to his disciples, everything we do as followers of Jesus flows from being loved by God, saved by grace.
Nice. In refers to our relationships with our communities of faith. Love one another, Jesus commanded us. His love is to be shared in faithful community. The love he planted in our hearts by the Holy Spirit is to be shared in communities that worship Jesus together with our lives.
And out refers to our relationships with those outside of a commitment to apprentice under Jesus. Those in our wider community, those in our day-to-day, those God calls us to. By this being Christ's love shared between you, everyone will know that you are my disciples. We are to be marked by the worship of Jesus and the care of others in committed relationship, a love that is seen by those in our world. So, if this is true of Jesus' heart for his people, I pray these questions help us engage with his heart and grow in his love.
Question one. What does this passage tell us about God, his love and heart for us?
Two, Rua, how does this passage invite us to engage as communities of apprenticeship to Jesus in love and service?
And Toru, how does this passage lead us to partner with God on his mission to love the world?
Great. That was great. I love it. If you want to begin tithing, partner financially, interested in joining a neighbourhood church, or just have a question, you can contact us via unitechurch.org.nz.
This video is available in podcast form anywhere you listen to podcasts.
This Sunday, November the 6th, we have a family dinner and all in for all our Unite neighbourhood churches to come together.
Yay!
We're meeting from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Unite Hall. We'll sing together, pray together and share kai together. It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be great. And like we tell our children, God is good, he made us good, and so we can trust in his goodness.
We are praying for you in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Aroha nui. Unite whānau.